Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Thea Tupelo, who's an Alexander Technique teacher in Charlottesville, Virginia. Thea works with all kinds of people, musicians, actors, equestrians, gardeners, office workers, and people suffering from pain. But her specialty is, encouraging people to stand, instead of sitting at work, standing at work, because of the health benefits associated with that. Thea, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Robert.
Could you begin, Thea, by giving our listeners a very short description of the Alexander Technique, first of all?
Yes. So in practicing the Alexander Technique, we learn the ability to sustain a continuity of awareness of the fullest potential of our upright design. And that's my short and skinny encapsulation.
Right. And the idea being that many of us have compromised that integrity as we've gone through life.
Absolutely.
For one reason or another, typically unconsciously, and that we stand, sit, and move in ways that aren't as efficient as they could be. Would that be a fair summary of it from your point of view?
Absolutely. Or that we abdicate the opportunity to be upright in situations where it might be more advantageous for us, at work, for example.
Right. And we're going to get to that in some detail. I know that there has been a British Medical Journal publication this year, which is 2012, on this topic of really the dangers of excessive sitting, I guess we could say. Do you want to quickly summarize that study?
Yes. Well, it was just published this June and received quite a lot of press, was all over the papers and the internet. And what they showed was the effect of sitting for more than 3 hours per day, which is quite a conservative estimate, considering that we are now, as a society, sitting down more than ever before. We're looking at an average of 9.3 hours a day, so a truly sedentary lifestyle for many, many office workers. And what they showed was that sitting for more than 3 hours a day impacts your energy, your creativity, your productivity. It's a primary cause of back and neck pain, heart failure, diabetes, asthma, a whole range of diseases and discomforts, and that exercise does not help in this particular context. You can go for your run or work out in the gym in the morning or lift weights in the afternoon, but the very act of sitting in an office chair throughout your day creates the kind of atrophy of the musculature, of the metabolism, of the general enlivenment of the person that is incredibly deleterious for our health and our life expectancy. They also expected that a sedentary lifestyle will shave at least 2 years off of your life.
That's a sobering thought. And I suppose also a lot of people who spend a lot of time sitting at work also spend a lot of time sitting in their cars or however they get to work and back.
Exactly.
And they probably spend some time sitting watching TV on the couch or
Absolutely.
Whatever. So given the downside of sitting, I guess the obvious, quick and easy obvious solution might seem to simply stand and rearrange your workstation so that you could work standing up. And I know that in the 19th century, for example, if you went into a lot of offices, people would be standing a good part of the time. Or they might stand for a while and then sit on a high stool for a while often they would have desks that weren't really flat. They kind of were at an angle, an upward angle. And that was a pretty standard way for people to work. And I think not that there weren't chairs then, but they weren't used as much as they are today. Would you, right. From what you know, is that the case?
Absolutely. Yeah. And not only that, the entire work culture was more movement-based. People would get up to go and speak to a coworker rather than instant messaging
them.
Oh,
that's a good point, right.
They would run down to the mimeograph machine.
Or the water cooler. They go to the water cooler.
Stand around the water cooler.
And I'm guessing that a lot of the dangers of sitting are really related to sitting for long periods of time without taking a break, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think the so-called ergonomic chair has contributed vastly to our problems, because in the ergonomic view, they want to reduce work. So mm-hmm. they create this little cocoon where you can sit back and have a very minimum of muscular efforting. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, you're sort of trapped in this chair like a spider in a web. Little micro movements aren't possible. You tend to slump and collapse mm-hmm. into your sitting structure. And then you don't want to get up for 3 hours at a stretch, 4 hours at a stretch.
Right. So they're providing you with what seems like comfort, but at quite a cost to your overall health. So someone listening to us and says to themselves, okay, I get it. Maybe I'll read the study, and they think, well, I should just stand up at work. I think for a lot of people, apart from the question of how they're going to rearrange their work environment, which we can get to in a moment, I think that the thing that a lot of people would wonder is that's a lot of standing during the day. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do that comfortably. I'd get aches and pains from standing that much. What would be your response to that?
Well, what I teach my students who are making the transition from their seat to their feet is to choose three sustainable modes of interaction with your work environment, standing being one of them. I will usually propose pacing, walking back and forth, looking at your screen, looking out the window, thinking great thoughts as you move. And the third being perching, mm-hmm. which was a concept that Galen Krantz came up with in her book, The Chair, which I guess is about a decade old now.
Mm-hmm. And we should say just briefly, Galen Krantz is a professor of architecture at UC California, Berkeley, and she's also an Alexander Technique teacher. And she has thought a lot about sitting. She's written a wonderful book on the subject, and she's published some very interesting articles with titles like Sitting, a Danger to Your Health, and so on. I mean, she's
exactly.
in the forefront of that area. Yeah. So perching, maybe you could describe perching a little bit.
Well, not long ago, Galen Krantz got together with a Windsor chair master craftsman named Peter Galbard, and they created a variation on the normal three-legged stool. Mm-hmm. It slants forward at the front, so you're sitting in what Alexander Technique students would understand to be a position of mechanical advantage, mm-hmm. sort of splitting the difference between weight into the feet and weight into the sit bones, mm-hmm. so that your sitting posture is very lively. You mm-hmm. can rise to your feet at any moment, but you can mm-hmm. also come back into a little bit more of a restive state by pouring a little weight into the sit bones. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting in one right this moment, and it's unbelievably comfortable.
Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I'm sitting on a stool that's a wooden stool. It's roughly 1.5 times as high as a typical chair. And I've been doing that for years, and I find it extremely comfortable. And as you say, it really encourages movement as you sit. I can shift around easily and quickly. I could put my feet on the ground or on the rungs of the chair. I can shift the weight distribution. I can put it very heavily on my feet, or I can shift back so it's mostly on the chair. It really encourages movement as I work. Now, that's not quite the same as the perching stool, but it's in that direction.
Absolutely, and certainly more cost-effective than purchasing a specially designed perch that has been cut to your specifications. Mm-hmm. So it's a wonderful interim step.
Yeah, this stool, the stool that I'm using costs $20. I got it from Target, and it's incredibly well-made. Yeah. Heavy wood, very nice, attractive, and... I tell my students, my approach to this, I guess, is I tell my students, go out and buy one of these, have it available, don't force yourself to use it, but have it available as you work, if you're working at home or in the office, if you can do that, and you may find that after a few days, you don't really want to use the chair anymore. That was certainly my experience. So it's kind of an organic thing. It's not forcing the issue. But that's the approach I use. Now, it sounds like you're a little more proactive with your students, right?
Yes. I do recommend standing being the default go-to mode of interfacing with your workstation. Mm-hmm. And the reason I do that is because I have had the experience myself, and my husband has been using a standing workstation for going on 1 year now and has experienced such a boost in energy, vitality, creativity, productivity. He notices that he's able to have bigger thoughts. He's more excited about being at work. He's more excited about what he's doing and new projects that he's taken on, and his overall tone has hugely improved, and he's dropped a lot of weight as well. Just the act of being on your feet, pacing, using the whole self in that enlivened, awake, vital, dignified way has made a huge difference in his waking life.
So if someone decides this really does sound like a good thing to do, and they start standing, they start doing some standing, and they find that it's kind of, it's hard on them to stand for longer periods of time. First of all, how might the Alexander technique be useful for someone making that transition?
Well, as we both know as Alexander technique teachers, understanding how to use the technique to your advantage distributes the work of standing throughout the entire psychophysical system. So understanding how the head neck back relationship contributes to not loading weight into the hips, not loading weight into the knees, into the ankles, being able to organize yourself intelligently so that when you stand, you're doing so in an enlivened, ergonomic, efficient way that doesn't promote the kind of fatigue that simply grinning and bearing it and getting up onto your feet with no knowledge or education about how to go about it in an informed manner. It makes a huge difference.
So I mean, standing well is a skill that for a lot of people, it's going to require some learning to do it well. And the Alexander because basically, if you look at someone standing up, certainly, if you look at an upright skeleton, the first question I think that would come into your mind if you were a visitor from outer space is how does that person manage not to fall down right away? I mean, it's kind of a miracle that we can stand at all. And of course, small children, once they learn how to stand, generally do it pretty well. But adults tend to have developed these habits that they can stand, but often they're standing by kind of stiffening in their body or holding themselves up instead of allowing themselves to be balanced. And of course, as you said, Alexander technique tends to start with the head neck torso upper torso relationship, because if your head's not balanced on top of your spine, it's gonna be pretty hard for your whole body to be balanced on your feet.
Absolutely. So, and if you have no understanding of the nature of our design and function as upright creatures, you aren't going to be able to tap into what we in the technique call good use of the self. There's some simple but very powerful concepts that allow you to stand sustainably balanced and without excessive fatigue over time.
Right. Now, a lot of people might say, well, I guess what I need to do is, if I'm going to be standing at work, I need to make sure I'm standing up straight. Right. And Alexander teachers and people who study the technique cringe when they hear that, I think, generally, because as one of Alexander's own students, more famous student John Dewey, pointed out, if you tell someone to stand up straight, they're certainly going to make a change, but all they're going to do is, as he put it, stand up differently, or a different kind of badly, as he put it. Or as my primary Alexander teacher, Marge Barstow, would say, well, you're just rearranging your tensions. And so standing up straight is not really a solution. I guess a solution is learning how to stand intelligently, which, of course, I would say is what the Alexander technique can help you with. So I guess the bottom line is, if you want to start standing at work and you're experiencing any discomfort doing so, or it's hard to do for any length of time, an Alexander teacher could be a great help to you, and you may not even need that many lessons just to be able to stand more easily. So would that be your kind of general advice? If you're having problems, find an Alexander teacher.
Absolutely. Yeah. Find an Alexander teacher. And I think from my experience thus far, around 10 lessons will give you the basic building blocks to allow you to have a pretty comfortable and sustainable working experience.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would find it hard to imagine someone having 10 lessons and not have huge changes in the way they stand, and in the way they sit too, for that matter, and the way they move. I think we've covered a lot of what you're about in terms of standing at work and so on, but just a kind of a technical detail, maybe. What do you suggest in terms of the rearrangement of the work surface? Because obviously, if you're working at a computer or writing and you're standing, you're going to have to do something about the height of the surface you're working on. What sort of solutions do you suggest to your students?
Galen Kranz came up with a wonderful term that I love to use, which is gorilla ergonomics. So thus far, none of my students have purchased any of the specially designed stand-to-sit furniture. We have created standing workstations out of file cabinets, out of boxes, out of step stools, pretty much finding the heights that we need, and arranging the existing desk structure so that the screen is at the proper height, the keyboard is at the proper height, the mouse is at the proper height. And then I like to ask people to try using a shock-absorbing mat under their feet. They're sold for use in kitchens, or you'll see them at your grocery checkout, mm-hmm. or a lot of architects will use them, but mm-hmm. they will make it a lot nicer for you to stand throughout the day and absorb a little bit of the shock of a upright posture.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So they would, if nothing else, that would be a very nice transitional device, right?
Absolutely.
And you mentioned architecture. I think that architects often have workstations that can be elevated and angled a bit. I don't know whether that's still the way they work with computers these days, but certainly the old-fashioned image of an architect drawing outlines and stuff. So maybe there's a source of a higher workstation.
I make some absolutely beautiful standing desks, and mm-hmm. and if you do a little search on the internet, you can find things, you know, from very, very economical to made especially for you and mm-hmm. costs $5,000.
Right. You could spend as much money as you want, but yes. probably you don't really have to spend a lot. There are workstations that are sold now that can actually be quickly and easily adjustable in terms of height, or could even have multiple heights for different things. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff out there, and you may at some point want to go that route, but maybe if you're just starting out, do something very simple along the lines you described earlier.
Right, and we have found too that bosses are usually pretty willing to invest in a standing workstation for their employees.
Mm-hmm. So well, I would think, especially if you on your site, there is a link to that British study, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I think if you were to print that out and show it to your employers, it's quite possible they might say, "Well, go ahead and buy one and put it on at the company. He'll pay for it. Who knows?" Yeah. But even if they won't, and you just have to fashion something yourself, it's certainly. I don't work standing that much, but I certainly work at a much higher on a higher stool, and it has made a gigantic difference for me. And I do get up and move around a lot. So is there anything else that you would like to add before we come to an end?
Let's see. I wanted to share a quote from Sigmund Freud about chairs that I came upon recently. Freud referred to modern man as a prosthesis god. Powerful, mechanized, and artificial through the use of painful, ill-fitting prosthetic devices such as the chair. And I wanted to share that because I firmly believe that our bodies are simply not designed for sitting. Most of our upright history has been spent tending crops, hunting and gathering, squatting, mm-hmm. sitting mm-hmm. on the ground, lying on the ground, and that the degree to which we are sitting now in these chairs, which are putting our spines and our legs at a 90-degree angle, which inflicts so much havoc on the breathing mechanism, on the organ function, on the relationship of the ribs to the pelvis, I believe that it's one of the larger cultural mistakes that we have made as a Western civilization, and getting out of these seats and onto our feet could make a huge evolutionary difference in our quality of life as upright beings.
Well, I could not agree with you more, and so hopefully, if you're listening to this, you'll want to explore standing or perching or some way to get yourself off of a regular chair. I think that would be the message. My guest today has been Thea Tupelo, who's an Alexander Technique teacher in Charlottesville, Virginia. I'll put a link to her website by the interview if you live in the Charlottesville area and what we've been talking about intrigues you, definitely contact her. Also on her site is a link to that British Medical Journal study, which you might want to print out and share with people. We'll also put a link to a site where you can locate an Alexander Technique teacher anywhere in the world. Thea, thank you so much for being on the show today.
It was a pleasure speaking with you, Robert.